Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurtured is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Brother Willie Grimshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Bryant Tansel. His message is entitled Thanksgiving Dinner and comes from Genesis chapter 42. I ask you all to please stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the message, Brother Tansel will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Tansel, you are on the air.
Good morning, and thank you so much, Danielle. Hope you and your family are doing great, and I hope everyone on the call is doing great out there. Thanks for joining us this morning on the day after Thanksgiving. And we are very grateful for this day. We get to see another day and rejoice in the Lord. I want to start out with a song that we know by heart. It's called, I Just Want to Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the sunshine. I thank you for the rain. I thank you for the peace and knowing my trials don't come this day. And I thank you that someday I got heaven to gain. I just want to thank you, Lord. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. And today, our title is Thanksgiving Dinner, and when we're thinking about that, I want to say thanks to my mom and dad who helped me prepare cooking for my family, and I've always taken what they've said to me to heart over the years, and I was lucky enough to get on the phone with mom yesterday, even though I had things written down. There's just something exciting when you talk to mom, and there are several of us that can't do that right now, so I'm very grateful for that. And I'm very grateful for my father who taught me how to make some boiled custard. I didn't make it this time, but I am just very thankful for them. Brother Bradshaw asked us earlier this week, what are we thankful for? And I'm sure every one of you have something on your heart that you're thankful for. So this is a story we talked about in the spring, and I wanted to revisit it because it may mean something different to you right now since it's Thanksgiving. So we're coming to a swift conclusion in the story of Joseph's life. His brothers have returned to Egypt with Benjamin in hand. They've been ushered into the house, the palace of the Egyptian magistrate, who's in charge of distributing food. Joseph, although they still don't realize it, is their long-lost brother. The brothers don't know what awaits them. They still have the silver pieces they bought with them on their first trip. They brought with them on their first trip to Egypt. This is in Genesis 42. They're just not sure what's going on. They simply need provisions for their families back in Canaan. And that's when the story takes an amazing turn. So it says, when Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand and bowed to the ground before him. Then he asked them about their welfare and said, is your old father well, of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? They said, your servant father is well. He is still alive. They bowed down in homage. As he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, he said, is your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, may God be gracious to you, my son. Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over his brother, and sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And he controlled himself and said, serve the meal. So they served him by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, if you remember, for that is loathsome to the Egyptians. Now they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in astonishment. He took portions to them from his own table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. You ever see someone around the Thanksgiving dinner table that gets about five times as much as other folks? I know you look at them with the side eye there a little bit, but it says, so they feasted and drank freely with him. That's in Genesis 43, and you can read that in verses 26 through 34. So Joseph, he's still not sure about his brothers. Have they changed at all? Benjamin is safe and sound, but does that prove they regret what they did to Joseph? So Joseph continues his charade, keeping his real identity from his brothers until he is sure. The brothers are still struggling. They're in a strange place, a rich man's home in Egypt. This was totally different from the nomadic tents they were used to in Canaan. In this scene, we see a feast take place, and it turns into a real Thanksgiving dinner. So the brothers are repeatedly confused. These men, they have no idea what's going on. When they met this Egyptian official the first time, it was in a business-type setting, you remember. They'd given him information on the situation in Canaan and on their family. Now, with their silver in hand they had taken, they're taken not to the place of business but to his personal home. Given Joseph's status, this was probably not a small hut. It's probably like a palace, like we mentioned earlier, right? Joseph was important and influential. Pharaoh had given him authority over all Egypt and its food supplies. So the brothers are in a strange setting for them. You ever feel a little out of place sometimes when you go somewhere? So when the meal is served, they're all seated according to their ages. This confused them more. How could these Egyptians know the ages and ranks of all 11 sons? How did they know Reuben was the oldest and Benjamin the youngest? And then when the food is served, it comes from the personal table of the Egyptian official. And Benjamin gets five times as much food as the others. They can't figure it out. We all find ourselves in situations like this. They make a little sense. And like the brothers, we feel confused and ill at ease. When we lose a job or when we get a negative diagnosis, it makes a little sense. Even when we experience good things, like these brothers, when they're outside of our frame of reference, they confuse us, kind of shakes us a little bit. The good news is that in hard times and in good times, God is at work in our lives for our good. The brothers will soon learn what all this means. In the meantime, they will stay confused just for a little bit. So I mentioned the brothers are ill at ease, and this confusion leads to a little uncertainty. The brothers hadn't resolved the money issue. Each brother, if you remember, found his silver pieces in the neck of their grain sacks on the first trip to Canaan over in Genesis 42 and 28. In Genesis 43, verses 20 through 30, they tried to return the money to Joseph, but the servant of the Egyptian official tells them not to worry about it. You ever have anybody that owes you money and you tell them not to worry about it? Oh, no. People probably get money from us that they never pay back, so, right? We don't say that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We only have so much to give, right? So now in this fine home and these strange surroundings, they're treated as honored guests at a great feast. None of it made sense to them. They are ill at ease. The ill at ease must have worsened when they were seated according to their age. I mean, how could anyone in Egypt know their ages and rankings in the family? After all, there were 11 of them. And this important Egyptian is feeding them food, his food, which was probably much more sumptuous than their usual menus. You know, they were probably eating sandwiches and things on the side there. And to top it off, Benjamin, the youngest, gets the lion's share of the food. with the Egyptian ruler seeing to it that Benjamin gets five times the food the others do. It's no wonder they'll be ill at ease. So what does this all mean? Is this good fortune or misfortune? It's not unusual for God's people to feel out of place. After all, we are not of this world. Jesus said it best. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. John 17, verses 14 through 17. We'll always be out of place in our world. We've been set apart by the truth of God. And unlike the world around us, we'll be guided by that truth. Joseph's brothers felt out of place, and we should too in this world. So the brothers enjoy themselves, and they feel a little out of place. As believers, we need to learn to make every meal a Thanksgiving meal. It starts with a simple prayer of the Thanksgiving and continues in our enjoyment of the food God provides for us every day. We may not understand how it all comes together like the brothers, but we can stop and thank the Lord for every bite of food that we eat. While the brothers are confused but satisfied, Joseph is once again demonstrating remarkable character throughout this episode. You ever take a minute to stop and thank someone who prepared that delicious Thanksgiving meal, the hours they spent, the time they spent making it just right? And you have that one person that says, these green beans are a little too salty, or this dressing and that just ain't quite right. And, you know, people are coming around the table, gathering food, and they may say thank you in passing, go sit down and eat. You ever stop and just tell that individual that made the food, thank you for all the time you took to prepare this delicious meal? And just look into their eyes for a minute and stop what you're doing. It doesn't make sense to keep rushing through every single moment in life and not paying just a little bit of grace to the person that took all that time, all those hours, spent all that money to prepare a wonderful meal. And I'm sure they did their very best to try to make it outstanding for their guest. We need to take time and thank people for what they do. Tomorrow's not guaranteed for us, and we need to live every day, every single day, like it might be our last, because we just might be right. So I'm going to end with a word of prayer today. I'm thankful for all of you on this call, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And Lord, as we bow our heads, I pray for me and my family, and we thank you again for the life of Shokala as he still lives with us in our hearts and our memories. I thank you for my wonderful parents who have guided me and directed me throughout my life. I thank you for so much, and I'm so grateful for everything you've done for me, and I know everyone on our call is as well. We're praying for Sister Dillard, who lost her daughter, Geneva. We also pray for Kelly Clark, whose father is in hospice. We pray for Dr. Nee, who has lost his father as well. We pray for everyone on this call with their family members that may be sick, with their health. They may be sick, Lord. We ask that you restore them and bring them back to full strength. We pray for the people that don't have a big meal and a delicious meal to eat like we had yesterday and that we will continue to have. But these people are thankful for their life and are thankful for being here, Lord. We pray that we're able to reach them through everything that we do and our actions. We pray for the people that are traveling to give them traveling grace. And God, we thank you so much for the COVID vaccines coming. In this pandemic, Lord, let us think about what can we do better today than we did yesterday. Can we do everything to make our lives safer, make people around us safer? We're all a community. Thank you so much for everything you've given us and this beautiful morning that we have today, Lord. Let us do something with it. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometime?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the story of old, and I look at old man Job, she lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife, when she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Job say, "I won't let
such things turn me around.
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust the Lord. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when time in life gets hard, that's when you ought to fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
Before I take it back, I'll add more.
What about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, "Better bow down before that image"? That day, yeah, yeah. Well, those boys were scared of the fire. Hey, they looked the king dead in the eyes, with no fear.
I won't let nothing.
I won't let nothing. No, turn me around.
I won't
no,
let
no weapon formed against me shall prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta go through the fire, but it's good to know Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing. No, no, no.
Here
we go.